Hi, this is Sam Lagana with the Los Angeles Rams. Whose house? You are listening to the Los Angeles Rams UK podcast. Undenied worldwide, the Los Angeles Rams. It doesn't get any better than this. Let's go Rams!
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the LA Rams UK podcast, episode 103, When's It All Going To Come Together? I'm John and joining me as always is Andy. Andy, how's it going, mate?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. How are you?
I'm not bad. How did you spend your bye week?
Relaxing and getting over a illness, to be honest, mate.
Illness aside, was it quite positive this week?
Yeah, it was all right, mate. It's just... Watched a few other team games and was on around the league just for something to do for the week, you know, the weekend. And just enjoyed a bit of a break from the stresses and the frustrations that have been the Rams so far.
Well, that's that. I think we'll maybe not necessarily went to sleep happy on Sunday, but at least we didn't go to sleep, you know, angry, frustrated, you know, as we've done for many weeks this season. So yep, so we're back this week, folks. Obviously the Rams, as I was saying, we're on the bye week. Nice to get a break considering how the way the seasons went. And on that, the kind of main talking point is really how we think the season has it's a stupid question to ask because we all know how the season's gone so far. But how the season is actually going for us thus far. Andy, how do you feel the 2023 season is going so far for the LA Rams? And try, if you can, to be positive, if it's possible. Is that a long struggle?
We've won one more game than I thought we'd do at this point of the season, and my predictions. That's about the only positive I can think of.
That's something. You know, hold on to that. That's not bad. So you obviously had us going out by week 2 and 7.
Yeah.
I mean, looking at the schedule, like, at the start of the year, like... When seeing some of the predictions I've seen people say online for us, it's easy to see why you're saying like we could have been 2-7 going in, could have been realistic, and unfortunately you weren't too far off that. But I'm pretty sure you may have had would you have had the wins in the same kind of win column? As for myself, you know, like I think I actually had us starting 0-3 this season before we got the Colts. I think I'm also 1-4. Sorry, I'm just going through the schedule because I don't remember. 1-5-2. I actually think I had us 3-6 as well going out of the game, because just like we've not exactly had an easy start to the season when you look at it, have we, Andy?
No, we haven't. The two wins that I had predicted for the start of the year, I did actually wear right, which was my two were Indianapolis and the Cardinals. So I've got those two right. But, you know, it's not been an easy schedule, but I don't know. It almost feels like a lost first half of the season, because we started with reasonable promise and we felt like, you know what, maybe this team could be better than we all thought we were going to be starting the year. You know, we were like, yeah, games that we had, yeah, that's a loss. All of a sudden you felt like, oh, we might be able to sneak a win on that one. We could easily, you know, we can win this one. You know, the Steelers game, the Packers game. You know, we felt like actually as the season was progressing, we were the better team, but we just didn't seem to put that onto the field. It just seemed to be, I don't know, it felt like we were just grinding through the motions. And then obviously Stafford's injuries again happened, and you know, which is something we've all been worried about, and it showed that without Stafford, just how dire the offense is, and that completely shuts the whole team down. Basically, it doesn't matter what the defense does, the offense can't get anything moving. They can't do anything. Yeah, yeah. And we have had the weaknesses that we all thought in, especially on defense, has started to shine through, which is, you know, linebackers and the secondary.
Yeah, all the worries that we had with the defence are now kind of coming to fruition. And as you touched upon, one of the things we did see in the first couple of weeks of the season, you know, we had obviously the win against the Seahawks. We narrowly lost to them. we unfortunately lost to the Bengals, who aren't really looking that great. Despite being 5-4, aren't looking great. They had obviously the career walk off. In those 4 weeks, we were saying that, do you know, we're not actually as bad as we've been made out to be. There's a chance here. There's plenty of potential in this team. You know, and then, you know, the Eagles, you know, 23-14 isn't like, it's not like the steam rolled over us, but they didn't annihilate us, you know, and then with the Cardinals, you know, beat them 26-9, but, you know, the Cardinals are the Cardinals. They're not doing great. Then with also the frustrating loss against the Steelers, which kind of like, just, you know, a lot of us were kind of livid about. We went to Dallas and got exactly what we expected out of them. And then, you know, I want to say the less said about the Packers game, you know, the better.
Yeah.
From what I've not even watched the highlights. I was out with the family and it was one of the ones I'll go home and watch it. Seen the score pop up my phone and I was like, yeah, I'm not even going to bother. Because when I started reading our Discord server and I seen some of the comments that the guys were like saying about the game, I was just like, this sounds like it's up there as one of the worst performances. And dead well, absolutely, in the last 5 years. But maybe even going further than that, it wasn't great. And to be honest, I was absolutely relieved that we were going into a bye week, because after like what little I've actually seen in the Packers game, I'm glad that we had a chance to kind of go away and reset and, you know, clear out the quarterback room, which we'll get to in a minute about what we've done there. In terms of the rest of the season, Andy, so just talking through the schedule, we've got Seahawks home, Cardinals away, Browns at home, Ravens away, Commanders at home, Saints at home, Giants away, them away. Knowing what you know now about the team, because you probably would have, may have predicted it totally differently, how do you see the rest of the season going?
I could honestly, if everything goes to plan and we play like we did for the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season, I could see us winning 4 or 5 of those games now. You know, Cardinals, yeah, Murray's back, but, you know, I think we can handle them. The Browns are obviously now down with Watson going out for the year, you know, that they're relying on their rookie quarterback, you know, so anything could happen in that one.
Yep.
Ravens, I do expect us to get battered. I think the Ravens are just too good, much like the Cowboys, are just too good for us this year. They're just going to dominate us.
Yeah.
Commanders is one of them that's a little bit up in the air. It depends on what version of Sam Howell, their quarterback, you get. If we get the good version of him, then he's going to dice up our secondary. If we get the bad version, we could sneak that win. Mm-hmm. Saints is always a difficult game, but if you get beat by Derek Carr, something's bloody wrong with the team, you know. And then Giants look like the shell of themselves. And then, obviously, unfortunately, the Whiners, I just don't see us winning either. So, you know, there's potential where we could walk away, I feel, with quite a few wins in the box. But at the same time, if we play like we did versus the Steelers and the Packers, I could see us losing a lot of them. This is it's that Jekyll and Hyde at the moment until the team comes back out this week and we can actually see, is Stafford actually healthy? How good is he doing?
Uh-huh.
You know, have we managed to get some stuff together? You know, maybe changes to the secondary to sort of, you know, put our best players out there rather than the stubbornness of just keep going with what we've got and see what happens. You know, yeah. Hopefully we've made some changes and we can actually move forward, but yeah, I think this, I have a feeling we're going to lose this Seahawks game, but if we do, I just want it to be, if we can show a bit of fight and a bit stay close to them, then, you know, I think moving forward, we could have a decent end to the season.
Yeah, just looking at, if I just take, you know, the standings as they are in terms of our opponents, so we know the 49ers and the Seahawks are both 6-3. Of our NFC opponents, they're the only ones that are above 500. Saints are 500, 5-5. Commanders are 4-6. Giants are 2-8. And then in the AFC, we've got the Ravens, 7-3, like I said. Browns are 6-3. Like, I don't think that game at the start of the season, I would have put that game down as one that, you know, we could win that game. But I would say it's probably not the case now.
I will say, much like the Steelers, I feel like the Browns game is going to be that they have got a superb defense, much like the Steelers, and I think their defense can throttle us. And if DTR can just do enough, then, you know, that game could end up one of them frustrating games like the Steelers, where it just feels like we're just grinding away and we just can't seem to get over the hump. But at the same time, DTR could be throwing picks left, right, and center, and, you know, we could win it. So say that one's just feels like a very weird game.
Yeah. And what you're referring about, like DTR, obviously, is their quarterback now. And, you know, they did have Deshaun Watson playing for the week at the weekend. And theirs was one of the games that I did watch. I had Red Zone on the weekends, but their game was one of the ones I noted. You know, and they came back pretty well.
Yeah.
At the weekend, it was a good game to watch, you know. And so it's like you said, I think we're kind of relying on a rookie quarterback not performing to kind of potentially get something out of
the he did have a couple of starts earlier in this year, and he did look, you know, he looked good at preseason, but then when he had a couple of games and he didn't look very good, and he ended up getting benched himself. But, you know, he's had a few more weeks now to sort of, you know, sit behind, learn a bit more, get used to it. And, you know, he said in an interview today that, you know, he's learned from his mistakes. He's not the same that he was at the start of the year. So we'll just have to see, you know, as to what happens with him.
Yeah.
You know, but like I say, potentially we could walk away with the wins in a good few of these games now, if everything goes to plan.
Well, out of the games, like for me, I think three of them are definitely winnable, and that's the Cardinals, the Giants, and the Commanders. But the Commanders game could potentially be a slippery one for me. And I say that because they've pushed the Eagles very close twice.
Yeah, they always seem to play well against the Eagles. So I don't know what it is. My mate's an Eagles fan, and he says that he always hates Commanders week, because he says they can be, you know, they can have not won a game all year, but they always seem to play well against the Eagles. It's just, you know, but like I said, it depends on what version of Sam Howell they're going to get. You know, are they going to get, if he's the, you know, slicing them up quarterback that he has been at times, then he's going to make our secondary look ridiculous. If we get the turnover happy version that we've seen, you know, where he's making mistakes and everything, you know, it's one of them games we could win. You know, and don't forget, they've just traded away two of their best players, Montez Sweat and Chase Young. So their defense is looking a little bit soft and squishy themselves at the moment.
It is indeed. The Giants game. if we don't win that Giants game, then, like, you know, I think some guys should be collecting their P45s after that game. Like, what, haven't seen the Giants a few times this year. They are, like you said, they're just...
Well, I know someone I'm watching on YouTube does like a weekly power rankings. He's now actually, and he's got 32 as Georgia and college team New York Giants, because he said they're that bad now. Georgia have overtook them as a better NFL team than the Giants are.
Oh, God. And considering that the Panthers are actually the lowest rated team in the AFC, that's saying something, folks. You know, but in terms of the strength of schedule, like, I think at the start of the year when we looked at the schedule, going in post-bye, the consensus was got a potentially rough start to the season, but get to the bye week and then things should hopefully start opening up for us. Because looking at it, we're thinking, right, we've got the Seahawks, Cardinals, Browns. That could be three wins. That's three wins could be there. Yeah, we'll be off the Ravens because it's Lamar. Commanders, we should win that. Saints, they like to up their game against us, but we should win that. Giants, we should win that. And then it's that lot to finish. And, like, at the start of the season, like, a lot of people kind of spoke about, you know, we could be a playoff team if we pick up these wins. But it's like you said, Andy, like, the way this season's going, and just to depend on whether, you know, Stafford can play, these games, it's few and far between how many games are actually winnable. And like you touched upon, there's always one game a season, and it always is kind of like later in the year where we should win this game and we don't. You know, we had that a few years ago when it was like the Jets, when we handed them their first win of the season. You know, when they were like absolute god awful, like you referenced about Georgia there. Georgia probably would have beaten them. You know, ranked college teams would have beaten them. You know, so it's what game do you think has got the potential to be that game?
The frustrating game. Probably the two I'd probably pick is New York and the Cardinals, to be honest.
Both of them are away from home as well.
Yeah, that they just have that feeling of they're the two teams I feel we should definitely 100% beat, but have the potential to be that banana skin game for us that you're just scratching your head going, you know, that what the heck have I just watched sort of scenario.
I'm going to say myself it's the New York game, and the reason I'm going to say it is because I've just seen it, it's on New Year's Eve. So if there's a cold snap at that time of year, that could be a very cold place for them to play as well.
So that's it.
But who knows, folks? Let's be honest. We're not experts here. No one's an expert when it comes to the Rams in terms of predicting what's actually going to happen with us. I suppose
the other big question as well, though, is how many games do we, you know, realistically, do we want to win? Are we better off not winning these games now and getting a tough draft pick, you know, or are we better maybe pushing for a 9-8 finish and, you know, maybe scraping the playoffs if we're lucky and then we're not picking till, you know, high teens, early 20s, you know, is it really worth it for a season, for a write-off season, basically?
Catch-22, isn't it? The NFL website's taken away. Like, you know, you could actually review it by conference, the standings that they've got it purely down to divisions now, and it's annoying.
I think we're definitely
top 10 in the draft, but at the moment, but it's whether we're going to be kind of like top 5, top 6 come the end of the season. And like the question you're posing is, do we want to be top 5, top 6?
We've got the number 7 pick.
7, is it? Right.
Yeah, if the season ended today, we'd be picking 7th.
I mean, it's bad to say it, but it's a not bad number to pick from. Can you just do me a favour, just talk us through who's above us.
Right. I'll just go through the top 10. So you've got Chicago at 1, because obviously they've got Carolina's pick. Yeah. New York Giants is 2. New England is 3. Arizona 4. Chicago again at 5. Green Bay at 6. Us at 7. Tennessee at 8. Atlanta at 9. And Washington at 10. That's the top 10.
Just shows how bad the NFC is this year.
Yeah, exactly. You know, at the moment, like I say, we've got a top 7 pick, you know.
And we keep talking about like that first round pick being a quarterback. So it's like realistically, like, how many teams above us are we going to want to take a quarterback? You know, first off the bat, the Patriots. You know,
definitely.
They're definitely going to be taking one. The Bears, are they going to, you know, call time on Justin Fields?
It feels like it's going to happen. It just feels to me like it's going to happen. I think it's their time. They're going to have to. I think if you're picking one, you're going to, you know, you've got somebody like either Drake May or Caleb Williams there, you'd be very hard pressed to justify not doing it.
Yep, the Cardinals are sticking with Murray.
Apparently not.
But are they changing their mind again? They keep flipping this.
Apparently, the latest thing is they're going to assess him throughout the rest of this season, and then make a decision come the end of the year what they're going to do.
I'm going to trade them.
But the amount of dead cap they're going to eat, And also the fact that his contract teams are going to be like, yeah, you're not getting a first rounder for a guy that we've got to pay X stupid amounts to. So, you know, I just don't. It's going to be an interesting one what the Cardinals do. As you say, New York, I think, are
ready well, for they've paid Jones, though. This is the thing.
No, they've only picked up his 50-year option, haven't they?
Have they? All right, okay.
I don't think they've extended his contract. They've just maybe picked up his 50-year. But then again, it could be a new quarterback and a new coach in New England, because apparently they've seen the rumours going around that Belichick may be out at the end of the year.
I mean, putting my feelings towards Bill Belichick aside, as a neutral, I think it's time for New England to move on. He's been there long enough.
Yeah, but have you seen who he's been linked with if he moves?
No, but in Leiden, mate.
Our tenants.
Oh, okay.
So it would be an interesting one. Green Bay, who knows whether they're in the quarterback position? I don't know.
No, just going back to New York there, Andy. I was just checking. They've got Jones. They've got potential.
Daniel Jones. Sorry, I thought you meant Mac Jones for the Patriots.
No. Daniel Jones.
Yeah, they have an out on him.
You know, so they've basically paid him. They're not going to move on from him. No one's going to touch him either. So I don't think New York are going to be in the quarterback market.
I believe New York have got an out on him, though, on that contract.
2025, it says.
Yeah. So, but you can, like people have said, you can afford to keep him when you've got a rookie quarterback because pay you back up a little bit more than normal. I just don't see New York sticking with Daniel Jones, because what's the point?
There's no point. It's actually, if they were to get rid of him now, the dead cap would be $81.5 million on him. This is the thing with Daniel Jones. He's, you know, I try not to be disrespectful to players because they're professionals. And I'm not a professional myself, not an athlete by any means, but he's not a great quarterback. But he's getting paid an awful lot. Maybe not this year, but as you know, based on his contract, the way it breaks down, he's going to be getting paid an awful lot by New York for someone who's not really that great. And I don't really understand when they gave him the new contract, which was in March this year, signed a 4-year, $160 million extension. It's like, surely New York. I think that has surprised a lot of people time, because I think there was an expectation, they're going to move on from him. And it may have just came down to a time like, we can't get any better than this guy, we're going to have to pay him.
I think what it was because he played reasonably well last year for them and got them into the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
I think their GM and their new head coach, Brian Gdable, thought that he was making progress and he was moving on, and they could work with him. And I think this year has just proved, actually, you can't, because he's still trailer trash. Last year was just a fluke.
Can I keep him with a theme about someone performing quite well, we'll pay him, and then doesn't exactly progress well? Let's kind of stick with this, because we'll talk about what's happening elsewhere this week, because we'll move on to Jared Goff, who's currently sitting in the second best team in the NFC. Right now, with the Lions, who are just still performing week in, week out. Did you catch their game, Andy?
I did, mate. Yeah, it was quite a fun game to watch, actually, as a neutral.
Neutral, slightly side, more towards
Detroit.
As neutral as you can be, yeah. I watched bits of their game. As I mentioned to you before we came on the air, we kind of had a stick bug in the family over the weekend, so I was pretty knackered come 11 o'clock. I fell asleep watching a field goal about a kick, and I woke up and it was curling on the telly. So I'm a bit confused with that. The Lions, they're surprising people, but I don't actually, for me personally, see it as a surprise. I think last year we saw signs of this team have a lot of potential here and could be a dark horse. And I think it's now coming to fruition for them. And you know that you know they're definitely going to make the playoffs. Put it that way. It's just got a case of how far they're actually going to go in the playoffs. But one thing I did see is I think it was five of the games on Sunday were all finished with a walk-off field goal. What any other games that you watched at the weekend, Andy, that you wish to comment on, like you thought were like really good to watch? Because I thought it was a quite an entertaining week to watch.
Yeah, there was a few entertaining games. You know, I will say the Indianapolis New England game was not a fun game to watch. That was not a good advertisement for Germany. No. You can have this trailer trash game. It was like put you to sleep. In terms of exciting games, to be honest, Denver beating Buffalo. I don't think anybody saw that one coming. That was quite an interesting game to watch.
Yeah.
To be honest, Houston beating Cincinnati.
The Houston-Cincinnati game was pretty good to watch.
Yeah, I think, again, you know, is it time that maybe Bryce Young wasn't the best quarterback pick out of the two? I think it's beginning to look clear, you know, and I think the way Houston are going, they could potentially sneak into the playoffs this year, which is way ahead of their schedule as well.
Well, because just as you're alluding to there with like CJ Stroud, I've seen people this week talking, let's say, like, why are we mentioning this guy for rookie of the year? Because he's doing well enough that, well, statistically, you know, where he is in terms of quarterbacks. If he wasn't a rookie, they'd be talking about him as an MVP candidate now.
Yeah.
Not necessarily he will be, but like that's what I'm saying statistically. He's in that bracket. It's not a rookie of the year bracket. It's a MVP bracket that people are starting to talk about him.
When you look at the team around him and what he's working with, you know, kind of like, actually, you know, this guy maybe should be in the MVP conversation because, you know, just how well he is doing with what is... I'm not being funny, still a bit of a trailer trash team, but heading in the right direction. But, you know, fair play to D'Amico Ryans. He seems to have got that team playing way above its station.
Yeah.
You know, and how well it's doing. So, you know, it's an interesting team to watch moving forward. And then, obviously, I think you alluded to the Cleveland-Baltimore game. That was quite an entertaining game, to be brutally honest.
Because it was a really tight game for the last 8 minutes of the game. A lot of these games, it was like teams coming back within the last 2 minutes, whereas it was like 8 minutes in the fourth quarter still to go when it was like within a field goal. And then like the Browns missed an extra point. So we're going to need to go up, get the ball back and go back up the field, you know, to try and win the game, which they ultimately did. So again, it was interesting. I took great pleasure that Christian McCaffrey didn't break the record for most consecutive games with touchdowns, and despite their best efforts. But you know, they highlighted a lot this week about Bosa and Chase Young on defense. I think the two of them shared a couple of sacks. Well, I hate to say it's quite scary to watch and to see that, you know, with the way your offensive line is, you know, the way Stafford is, you know, we've still got them coming at us. And they're going to be still probably going all guns blazing in that game in terms of trying to get the best seeding possible for the playoffs. That's a worry.
Luckily, if it's week 18 and we're out the playoffs, it would be a case of if I was to just say, well, you know, if you got injured, it doesn't matter, you've got the off season to recover. If we are chasing or we've secured playoffs, it's Wentz, you sit there, you're playing this game. So if you get anyone's getting smashed, it's you, Sunshine. Yeah. Or just, you know what, we'll re-sign Brett Rippon and say, right, here's your punishment for being so trash, you can go and get smacked up by them two for freaking 60 minutes to teach you a lesson. Yeah. But I think the other one, obviously, Minnesota win with Josh Dobbs as their quarterback.
Did you see the clips of Dobbs in the sidelines? He was going over the cadences with his offensive line and other members of the offense on the sidelines as the game is going on behind him.
Yeah,
you know, I don't think it was a similar situation to when we got Baker Mayfield last year. He barely got to practice with anybody, so he was literally working with nothing. So they were literally, you know, practicing on the sidelines. You know, fair play to the guy.
If you look at him now, he went to Arizona with their trail of trash. He managed to win a few games and looked half decent. He's gone to, you know, the Vikings. Sorry, it's one game, but has looked, you know, brought them, you know. So, you know, it's definitely a capable backup. Maybe, you know, maybe if he got a chance, he could be another sort of Geno Smith renaissance to his career.
Yeah, well, that's the way people are going to be looking at that. And, you know, fair play to the guy. We'll see what happens anyway with that. So that was last week. But let's talk about what we've been up to this week. So you mentioned, you alluded there about Brett Rippon being re-signed, you know, for a laugh there. So obviously, following the Packers game, we got rid of Tressum Wynn and Brett Rippon. And thank God that we did, because that last game was just awful. We fought Wolford and Perkins were great backups until we seen Dressel winning Brett Rippon. So we've been busy, let's just say, and we have signed one Carson Wentz, who was a free agent, and we talked about this earlier in the year, Andy, and your feelings on it were very, very clear at the time. Like, no, I don't want this guy. He's too injury prone. Like, it's a waste of money, waste of our time. But here he is, Aram, Carson Wentz, the man that we were between picking, and we went with Jared Goff. I don't even want to say finally Aram, but he is Aram now. Thoughts on that, Andy?
How polite do I have to be? Yeah, you know what, he's coming as a backup. We'll see what he does. I've seen a lot of people though on social media, etc., saying, oh, you know, he could potentially take us to a winning season, you know, he could take us deep in the playoffs. No, sorry, the guy's trailer trash. I'm sorry, he is absolute trash. He's proved that now over the last number of years. And before he signed with us, it tells you how bad I think he is. People need to realize he had a trial with the New York Jets, and the Jets decided they'd rather stick with Zach Wilson than sign Carson Wentz. So they thought Wilson was a better option. So that tells you everything you need to know about how he is. You know, I'll get behind the guy if he plays, because obviously, you know, he's a Ram now, and we have to build. I think all this talk and this hype over him is just, you know, way overstepping, you know, to what his capabilities are. He's not been good for a good number of years. He can't, you know, stick in teams. He can't even, up until we signed him, he couldn't even get a backup gig anywhere. That tells you. This feels almost like Brett Rippon desperation again of, well, Rippon's not sticking, so we'll try and see if something else comes in. You know, people are saying, oh, it'll be like Mayfield last year. Now, Mayfield at least had a bit of something to him. Wentz hasn't had anything to him for years.
Mayfield was seeing some game time as well, whereas Wentz is totally coming out of the cold. So yeah. I personally wouldn't make that kind of comparison, because at least Mayfield was seeing snaps last year when we brought him in.
Yeah, you know, they're two completely. Wentz is a shell of a quarterback. You know, he had one good, he had one excellent year and one okay year, and after that, just the rest of his career has been falling apart.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and like people going on, like, says, "Oh well, he was at the Eagles and he won a Super Bowl." Wentz didn't play in the Super Bowl, if you remember correctly, folks. Wentz got taken out of the game by, I believe it was, Mark Barron, if I'm correct, when the Eagles came to town. Nick Foles took over and the rest is history. So you can't even make that argument. Oh, he's won a Super Bowl. He didn't win a Super Bowl. He was injured. He was out for the year. It was Nick Foles that won a Super Bowl.
You know, he was playing like an MVP candidate that year, I will say that much, up until his injury. But, you know, since then, he's not. The year after, he was, okay, at a stretch. And then after that, it just, the Eagles signed Jalen Hurts, and he just completely fell apart and has never been even close to, you know, anything since. So I think a lot of this hype and thing of him, you know, he could come in the squad. He'd certainly probably look maybe a little bit better than Rippon, but I'm saying maybe because I still don't feel he's as that good as we, you know, people think he is.
Yeah, it's. I think personally, I'm not happy we've signed him. I'm not angry we've signed him. I'm just totally indifferent to it. Wanting to give the guy a chance, but I don't think he's here for the long term. Put it that way. You know, I did say that in the Discord server, you know, if Stafford can't play and he does well, you know, he could be retained as a backup, but he's not going to want to be a backup, put it that way. You know, we're lucky in terms of his contract. We've brought him in. He's got $150,000 signing bonus, and his base salary is supposed to be $1.165 million, but we are prorating that, so he's only getting something like, I think in total something like 740 grand he's getting paid off the Rams, but we'll only have to pay him 150 grand if we, and we can cut him at any time. So, you know, so whilst, like, it may not be a great candidate to have brought in, kind of says, well, he can come in, he can warm the bench, you know, and if we need to get rid of him, then we just need, you know, it's only 150 grand, it's guaranteed, depending on, you know, how far we get. So I think it's one of those ones that they're like, okay, do you know what, we'll just take that kind of like minimal hit, because in the off-season, as we were saying earlier on, we're potentially looking at, you know, the replacement for Stafford. But just as you were saying there about, like, in terms of his career, Andy, just looking at his stats, he's 46, 45 and 1 as a quarterback. You know, and he's not seen a snap, you know, since he played for Washington last year, where
he got benched.
He got benched. let's just put it that way. Yep,
he got benched and then caught.
You know, he only played in 8 games of the season. You know, and he was 2-5 as a start. He was 2-5. You know, and his season before the Colts, you know, he was 9-8. He looked okay for the Colts. Thought, right, well, maybe he did.
But how much of that was Jonathan Taylor? Jonathan Taylor's breakout year. The Colts were a run first team.
Yeah, I mean, his stats were okay. His stats weren't bad for the Colts. You know, I think at the time I thought, well, maybe this is a Jared Goff scenario where he's found the, you know, he's kind of level on a team that fits, but you know, that wasn't the case. And then he obviously says he's moved on in Washington. And, you know, to get benched by the Commanders, just, you know, it says, like you said, says everything, you know, about the guy in terms of how good he actually is. You know, if you're getting benched by, as a member of that team, you know, no disrespect if any Commanders fans happen to listen to this podcast, I doubt it, you know, because you're probably just wallowing in self-pity half the time. But maybe this is, like you said, this is just, well, it's just going to be another Brett, you know, Rippon, you know. But I think it's bad when you've got John Wolford, who we approached first about coming back, and he said, no, I'll just stay where I am, thank you very much.
Yeah, he must have been happy down in Tampa. He must be enjoying the beaches.
Well, I mean, it is warmer down there, I guess, even at this time of year. So, it's still not bad in LA. It's still not bad.
Yeah. I think it's cheaper in Florida than LA, though, isn't it? When you're a practice squad.
Well, I guess one of those ones that you're probably looking into that situation a bit more. He was maybe not happy with maybe how things ended in LA, and it's kind of like, I don't want to come back now. Like, I'm not here, like, waiting for by the phone, you know, desperate to come back to you guys. Like, I've kind of had my shot. You made it clear you didn't want to stick with me. You know, it's not like you would have been on a big contract, but it is what it is, isn't it, Andy? But, you know, the kind of quarterback theme, Stetson Bennett was spotted for the first time last weekend at the Georgia Ole Miss game. He was there to receive an award. It's the first time he's been seen out in public since basically pre-season. But we're not going to see him at all, really, this year, according to what Sean McVay said. Remaining very tight-lipped, the back office, about what's, you know, where Stetson Bennett is at in terms of whatever he is he's dealing with, you know, his demons or whatever it is. Do you think Bennett will be back? No, I'm not saying this year in terms of, I mean this season. I mean, do you think Stetson Bennett will be back? Or do you think it's one of those ones in off season we'll just quietly go, yeah, we've given you a chance, you're off?
I don't know, mate. We'll have to see how the team decides moving forward what they're gonna do with them. They might bring him in for the off season, keep him, get him in if he's available, put him in the training camp and just say, right, we'll see what you can do. But you know, you're basically fighting it, you know. If you can prove to us you're capable, we'll keep you. If you're not capable, we'll bye bye, there's the door, see you later. Yeah, you know, and I suppose it all depends as well. Can he keep him wherever his demons are or whatever there is going on? If it is alcohol related, is I suppose the Rams are looking, well, it's off season, can you keep yourself away from it and keep yourself clean?
Yeah,
yeah, that's assuming the most likely, which is where everyone's rumors are, it's alcohol. Obviously, we don't know 100%, but if that is the case, you know, it may be a case of, like I said, the team just want to see where he's at, what he's doing, and make a decision from there, you know, to keep him as the backup.
Yeah, I think like last year, we were kind of coming out of the season, we were like, what we do to address the offensive line was the kind of big focus that we wanted to see what we were going to do. I think it's, you know, it's without doubt it's going to be the quarterback room, even more so because last week Matthew Stafford was on, I think it was Pat McAfee's podcast. And he asked him about, are you going to hang up at the end of the year then? And he said, no, I'm going to keep going. Now, of course, he's going to keep going, you know, with what he's getting paid. But it's like, you've got Stafford there. You've got Bennett already on the books, you know, as part of a four-year deal. And then you're potentially going to be finding someone else, you know. So it's one of those ones like, well, will they keep Bennett going if they're going to be bringing in another rookie? I suppose in terms of the cap, it doesn't. As long as he stays clean, I guess it's. So again, it's a minimal hit, isn't it? That you've got a guy in a rookie contract. You know, we drafted him with 4th round, so he's not in a massive contract as well. So I suppose it's one of those ones that do we hope that he kind of keeps it clean, because he. In terms of viewing it as Bennett becomes the long-term backup to the guy we bring in next year.
Yeah, that could be an option. Yeah, obviously, that's even if, you know, we're all making an assumption that it is going to be a quarterback. This team might not even sign a quarterback. They may decide there's other issues elsewhere, and if Stafford didn't want to keep for another year, and we'll just, you know, maybe they, you know, but Bennett is getting, you know, he's basically lost this season, so he's now going to be a 26-year-old rookie, basically, to start next year. You know, it's kind of, you know, how much longer is he going to have? He's not that much younger than Stafford, it feels at times, at this point.
Yeah.
You know, but like I say, we're just going to have to wait and see as to what the team decides to do with him, what they're going to do with Stafford, what Stafford's going to do. You know, Stafford may very well say, I'm not retiring, and, you know,
even Kelly says,
yeah, when Mrs. S will get in his ear and be like, you're retiring, sunshine, because I've had enough, you know. So we just don't know. You know, he seems the sort of guy that he's likely to get, you know, offered. I wouldn't surprise me if he's already had offers for going into the booth once his career's up. So you may decide, you know what, actually, I'll just do that, it's easier, you know, and it keeps the missus off my back. There's lots between now and then, you know. He could now throw off and have an MVP style second half of the year, and, you know, we'll forget all the talk about him. I don't see it, but, you know.
I don't see it myself. Oh, no.
You never know. We'll just have to wait and see.
We'll just have to wait and see. I can't remember if this was, because it's in my notes here, I can't remember if this is from a couple of weeks ago. No, but just where. In fact, no, I put this in for the last time we were going to podcast and we didn't. Kevin Dotson has came up a wee bit, and not necessarily in the news, but in PFF's mid-season All-Pro team, because they named him as their starting right guard in their offense, and they commented, that they felt that he's quietly putting together his best season thus far, and commented that he is down as being the second best league in terms of run blocking. Kevin Dotson seems to have been a good acquisition to that offensive line, hasn't he, Andy?
He has, mate, yeah. Between him and obviously Steve Avila, you know, I never understood, to be honest, when he was in Pittsburgh, why he wasn't getting games. He just seemed to fall out of favour for whatever reason. And to be honest, it's been to our benefit now, and I'm not sure if it's this year or next year he's due up for his contract, but I'm hoping whatever it is, we just sign the guy. Don't even think about it. You know, he's our, you know, we have, you know, between him and Avila, we basically have our two guard positions sealed away now, potentially for the next good number of years, because he's only 26, 27 himself, so he's got a good few years left in him. So, yeah, now I'd say he has come in and just, again, I think with offensive linemen, if they come in, you don't notice them, they're doing the job. You know, it's when you start noticing them that you go, and yeah, it's normally because they get noticed for getting beaten. He's just come in and just got on with the job, basically. And one of our probably best acquisitions this year in terms of players we've brought in. Not, I don't mean in the draft, obviously, but just players we've brought in and picked up.
It took a few weeks before we actually got to see him play, but that makes that kind of comments from PFA even more impressive. Because I think it was maybe the third or the fourth week before he actually got to play for us. So, you know, it's not even, you know, out of the 9 weeks that we've played, he's played in just over half of the games. Yeah. Really, when you think of it. So that's even more impressive.
Exactly.
Like I said, alongside Steve Avila, he's been a great acquisition on that offensive line. And, you know, it's really showed up. It's not solved all problems. I'll say that, I'll make that clear. But it's gone a long way to addressing a lot of the issues we had with the offensive line last year. And fingers crossed, we can build on that. It's Dotson and Avila coming in has been a good foundation to try and rebuild that offensive line off of this year. I felt, what about you, Andy?
Yeah, same here. You know, it's a good start, you know, and even the fact that we've paid Brian Allen, but we've decided Shelton is the better guy to start on centre and Jackson is our preferred starter at left tackle. You know, we seem to have basically shored up the offensive line to a lot better than it was last year. And to be honest, I think, you know, depending on where we're picking in the draft, if we can potentially pick up maybe one of the top tackles, uh-huh, you know, in this year's draft, that's basically pretty much our offensive line sorted. I think it's basically it's sorted. It's about as good as we're going to get.
Yeah.
You know, bar for anything, you know, major happening. I just, you know, I think out of the five on the offensive line, the one weakest player you can get away with is if he's your centre. If your centre's the weakest player, it's fine, because a lot of the schemes will help him out with either the running back coming into a system or double teaming with a guard, and then the guard will feed off onto his blocker. So, you know, you look at some of the top teams, the centres aren't great, but they can get away with it. If your tackles and your guards aren't great, then you kind of, it all starts to fall apart a little bit more, because they're expected to one-on-one more often than not. So, you know, if we can just get left tackle or sorted, you know, with maybe, like I say, a top guy out the draft, I think our offensive line is basically back to where it was, you know, back in the, you know, Big Wit, Saffold sort of days.
Yeah, just looking at the, you know, sacks allowed stat in terms of Stafford. Last year, Stafford only played 9 games. He was sacked 29 times. This year so far, he's played 8 games. He's been sacked 19 times. So that gives you an idea, folks, in terms of sacks allowed, the difference in the offensive line. You know, it felt like a lot more than 29 sacks that Stafford took last year. But I mean, that's, you know, noticeable difference in terms of time that Stafford will be getting in the pocket, you know, to actually watch plays develop. If the play doesn't develop or whatever, you know, it's another issue. But at least you can say that the offensive line is doing more of a job to give our quarterback, our aging veteran quarterback, more time on the ball to try and do something with it. Time he didn't have last year.
It's not just that as well. It's helping our run game as well. It helps your run game because our own game has been a lot better because of those two, of Avia and Dotson coming in, which are bigger guys to push that and create that space for him to get through. Because if you look at a lot of the runs that we're doing, it is sort of guard tackle area. So we're sort of basically following up behind one of the two of them to get those yards. You know, so it really does, like you say, it helps in a lot of aspects of the game. Other news, if you like, so to speak, it's just been announced today. Obviously, for anyone who plays Madden 24, Puka Nacua has now got superstar abilities. They've actually upgraded them to superstar. So if anyone plays that, then you'll now have Puka as a superstar.
Excellent. Excellent. That's good to know. Wonder if that's happened with any other rookies.
No
rookie season of upgrading like that.
I think the only other one I think I saw off the top of my head was CJ Stroud. Got a massive upgrade as got a superstar.
Suppose you can see that. Nice bit of recognition there. I think what that really tells you was is that in terms of the scouting they would have done to give these guys their stats for the game, it just shows you that the scouts got it wrong.
I think at the start when the game came out, I can't remember if he was a 67 or a 69 as his starting rating as a normal, and I think he's now like 78, 79 superstar. So, you know, he's definitely getting the recognition Puka deserves. And, you know, this hopefully if we can get him up to 1,000 yards this year, you know, and he can make a... It'd be nice to get the guy, you know, to where he needs to be.
That's that. Even in the last couple of games, you're not, you know, putting up like amazing stats like you did at the start of the year. He's still breaking the records, you know, in terms of the Rams, you know, which is just nuts. You know, the last two games, only 32 yards against the Packers off of three catches, 43 against the Cowboys, again, three. But like, 8 or 9 games to still break like records for like the amount of receptions, the amount of targets, the amount of yards for a rookie, you know, it's nuts, man. I mean, he's on 827 yards now off his 64 catches. Like you said, Andy, you'd like to think he's definitely going to cross the 1,000 threshold there. I mean, I can't see. Common sense says you can't see him not reaching 1,000 yards, but this is us we're talking about.
Yeah, this is us, mate. You know,
this is what we're talking about. But I mean, really, I'm young, you know, 170 yards over 8 games. On paper, he could get that in one game. But you know what I mean? On paper, he should really get that and hit that 1,000 marker, which is great. It would be great for a rookie. Would like to see him catch more in the end zone. Like to see him get some more touchdowns. Because I think that's the other thing. Like, for a lot of the catches we've seen him made in games, you might see him make these day catches in the end zone, put it that way, eh?
In fact, Madden have literally just released a tweet as we're talking. Yeah, he's gone plus 13 upgrade to superstar. So he started as a 67 and he's now an 80 superstar. So, you know, nice to see he's getting the recognition he deserves.
Yep. Just having a look into it myself. This is the Rams just posting there. But Stafford's a full participant in practice today.
Yeah, that's good.
It's so good. Definitely looking like he's heading towards starting at the weekend. Yeah. Hopefully we can see, you know, the old Cooper Cup back this week. With how we performed against, and we'll now guests come on to our preview of the game this Sunday, 9:25 PM. It's not on Sky Sports or anything.
Woo-hoo.
As we welcome the Seahawks to town, and we are 3-2 in our last 5 against them. The last said about the last loss, the Bear. So with how the first game of the season went, you know, where we absolutely steamrolled them, you know, and totally blew people away in terms of, you know, Christ, the Rams actually could still play that, you know, considering how bad the team looks in paper. They're 6-3, you know. You know, but one of those threes is us. How you feeling going into this one, Andy?
Yeah, personally, I think I've got this down myself. I think we're going to lose this game. I just feel Seahawks are getting hot at just the right time. Yeah. But again, much like I've said with like Washington and that, it's going to depend which Geno Smith the team puts out. If you get the Geno Smith on his good day, he's again going to carve our secondary to pieces. DK Metcalf, unfortunately, you know, we'll have a field day. If we get the Geno Smith that we got from the first game, then we could win this game. It's very much up in the air, you know, as to what this game is. It would be nice to have. I don't think Kyren Williams is going to be. I think he's got a few weeks before he's back. But you know, it would have been nice to have somebody like him back this week to, you know, help pound the rock and control the clock a little bit just to make sure. But again, it's just one of them games. I think we're going to have to watch, see, and you know, keep our fingers crossed that we can. You know, much like in the first game, our defense can frustrate the Seahawks offensive line and the quarterback, and our offense can just get the ball moving enough to win. You know, and if you know, there's no reason why we can't. It's just a case of, you know, we'll just have to wait and see.
I think I had this down as a loss for us, but that was obviously part of the season. But you say, I suppose it depends on what kind of which version of Geno Smith turns up. We're at home, so I mean, you know, I would like to say that would go in our favour, but you know, it doesn't really matter. Although, on the topic of a home, it was nice to see that the tenants could barely fill the stadium, and it was basically a home game for the, you know, the Lions.
Yeah.
But back to our game. I've enjoyed such a positive week. If it's not playing, if you enjoy football, and it's just back to the grind, I guess. Hopefully, you know, with Stafford's had a few weeks rest now, he's looking good in terms of being back to full practice participation. You know, our offensive line, like you were saying, Andy, they're doing well, kind of showing up. Holes and that, and give Stafford time, you know, on the ball and whatnot. Like I said, I'm hoping to see, you know, 2021 Cooper Kupp come out of nowhere this week, because, you know, really need him, to be honest, to start
to be honest, I'm not bothered if we get 2021 Cooper Kupp, as long as we get week one Puka Nacua, I'll be happy with that.
True. Very true, actually, yeah. Take one of them, I guess. Be nice for both of them, but yeah, I suppose take both of them. Actually, on the topic of Puka Nacua here, just as I'm scrolling through Twitter, I was just sitting and watching a video. It's some highlights from Puka Nacua, and the highlights are actually very interesting, because I didn't realise, even though there was a difference in the uniform, I didn't realise I was looking at a different player, because some of the catches that Nacua is making are very much reminiscent of one Robert Woods. And like I said, it's just as we were talking there, I'm watching it and I just even though it's gone back to, you know, the old throwbacks, you know, and it's like the Colour Rush uniforms, watching some of the catches that Woods is making in this, it's at Ram Tapes, they posted about an hour ago, and it's like it's looking at the same player and some of the catches that Nacua's made compared to seeing then Woods make pretty much the exact same catches. Losing Bobby Trees, you know, season before last was a bit of a blow, because he was like so well loved by our fan base. Let's just put it out there. Do you think Nacua is potentially that replacement for Bobby Trees?
Yeah, I do, and eventually he's also going to be our cup replacement, I feel, as well. If he keeps developing the way he's going, I think he could be our cup, you know, replacement. Mm. You know, I loved, like everybody else, I loved Bobby Trees, but I do feel the team got rid of him at the right time, because he was on the decline and he couldn't stay healthy, you know, and I think the team did make the right long-term choice to part ways when they did. You know, as horrible as it sounds, it's a business at the end of the day, and it was the right, you know, that was the right choice. You know, as much as we've knocked the team for, you know, the Jalen Ramsey trades, et cetera, Bobby Woods was the correct trade to make because he was, just, you know, starting to slow down and struggle. And we, I think we've seen that now over the last, since he's gone, he's not really been able to stick with teams and not put the production up, you know. But yeah, I do think Puka is potentially, you know, and, you know, his replacement already. Like I say, potentially, if he keeps developing the way he is, he could be our Cup replacement in a few years when Cup decides to either hang up the cleats or he gets too expensive for the team to keep.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you there. I'm just scrolling through tweets just to kind of try and kind of check, see if there's any news and anything out about practice or anything like McVay said or whatnot. I came across an interesting quote. And it's, I suppose it's kind of relevant to, you know, talking back to the season when we, you know, we let Bobby Trees go. It's about one Von Miller. Did you see his comment about Josh Allen?
No.
I wouldn't trade Josh for anybody else in this league, past or future or whatever, any of the greats that have ever played the game. I wouldn't trade Josh for any of those guys.
Okay.
Steve Manning, Matthew Stafford, two quarterbacks that Von Miller has a ring thanks to.
Yep.
But he would trade either of them for, you know, for Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Josh Allen's a good quarterback, but
he's not at the moment. He's a bit of a turnover machine. So,
yeah, you know, it's the Madden, of course, you know, in it. But I just, as I said, came across that, and it's an interesting quote. Like, really?
Yeah.
You could have any quarterback, past, future, or whatever, as he said, but you'd take Josh Allen.
Yeah, I think he's only doing that. He's trying to shore up the locker room, I think, because apparently their locker room's starting to fall apart.
Yeah, that's what it is, because I'm sorry, like, you know, taking the horns off aside, you know, if I could play under Peyton Manning as my quarterback, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
You know, but like the tweets there, and there's a picture of Peyton Manning, and then you've got a very smug looking Matthew Stafford, you know, and it's like, you know, you don't have to say anything, like, you've got a ring against with these guys, but yeah, okay, go with Josh Allen. Yeah, how many rings have you got?
I was, you know, disrated. Your team not even meant the playoffs this year because you're so bad.
I mean, but you know, well, like you said, it's obviously an attempt to try and shore up the locker room, I guess.
Yeah, there's a few teams now that have got locker room issues starting to develop, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah, we went off on a tangent there. Right, just going back, Andy, right, prediction for Sunday, win or loss?
I'm going to be positive and go with a win. I think we'll scrape a win.
Yeah, I'll see the same. It's hard to predict how our games are going to go.
I'm predicting Aaron Donald's going to have Geno Smith screaming, "Oh my God," all over again, running around the field, and Stafford will do enough to get us over the line. That's it. Trying to finish on a positive note, so I'm going to finish with we're going to win this.
Well, here's another positive note they'll put on. Through nine games, offensive linemen Rob Havenstein and Alaric Jackson between them have only allowed 3 sacks this season. And that's on, between the two of them, they've had maybe about, we'll just say on average, about 455 snaps. So, you know, Stafford's going to be allowed to ball this week, and he is going to ball because he's had 2 weeks off, you know, his form, he's hit his back, he's healthy, he's looking good. Yeah, and we're just going to go out and annihilate this mob and get back to winning ways. And I didn't necessarily have winning ways this week. How are you getting on in the fantasy football, Andy? Or do you want to talk about it? Because I don't really want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. I think the Alien Andrew team, UK team, are cursed. I think we're just meant to be absolutely god awful at fantasy football this year.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that. I just have the injury curse, mate. Every single player I pick gets injured a week or two later, and the ones I pick up afterwards get injured as well. It's kind of like, what is the point now?
I didn't play with a kicker or a defence this week because they were both on bye, and I thought I'm not dropping the Eagles or dropping anyone else because I need the points so that I can bring another defence in for just 1 week. So I took the hit. I think going in to this week, I had a 1% chance of winning. I managed to get up to 43% chance of winning late on Sunday evening. And I was just like, on the edge of my seat, there is a chance here. And no, I got beat. I'm not doing too good at all in fantasy. My season is now going to absolute shit, for lack of a better word, to be honest. I'm not doing too good. I'm not necessarily the worst league. I'm 4-6, which doesn't sound too bad, but I'm the lowest scoring team in the league by about 200 points. You know, so that's nearly 2 weeks worth of an okay performance in fantasy football. So I'm not doing too good. I am warming the bottom of my division, as are Aaron and Chris in the other division, and I believe you yourself. And that's why I say, folks, that maybe the LA Rams UK team were definitely not people to take fantasy advice off of this year. But with that, I mean, let's not talk about ourselves here. Nick, 1001, is sitting 8-2. He's doing really well. OBJ is missing ACL. He's definitely finding the wins. You know, he's not missing any Ws. He's 7-3 over the McVay conference. Stormbuster's 6-4, leading his division. And DJ Wright 2000 is 8-2 with West Ham United FC Matt, right up his back at 7-3. So there's a few guys starting to kind of not necessarily run away with leagues, but guys start break away in terms of how we can see how the playoffs are going to start looking. And we're only a few weeks away from playoff season. Don't think we are going to be in the playoffs, are we, Andy?
No, we've got no chance of making the playoffs, mate.
No chance. We're all going to be fighting amongst ourselves to tank.
Yeah, I'm thanking for the one pick next year.
That's that, folks. But you know, good luck to all the guys, other guys in the Fantasy Football League, and all guys that are chasing the inaugural Sleep Deprivation Bowl Championship. But apart from that, anything else you'd like to add tonight, Andy?
No, mate. I think that's about it for myself. What about you?
Just see how this week goes, I guess. Like I said, I enjoyed such a nice weekend last week, you know, sitting there, red zone on, just watching the games, you know, just getting to be a neutral and not get frustrated. It was a nice feeling again, you know. And it takes me back to the 2021 season, you know, when we were good.
I just enjoyed a Sunday of just flicking through games on one screen and playing Football Manager, the new Footy Manager, on the other screen of a laptop, on the PC, I mean. So, you know, that was my Sunday.
I suppose, like, at least we're on Sky this week, like you said. I seen Mr. Reynolds has got, he's still pushing for his US trip. I believe it's December. He's trekking through the States and inviting people to come join. I think he's actually dropped the price. So he's definitely not getting as many takers as he thought he was going to get. You know, so.
No, I'm not surprised. I'm surprised anybody's taking it.
No, the other thing is, like, I don't know if you might find this funny. My wife is, it'll come as no surprise why when I explain it. And my wife has started to now, you know, develop a little bit more interest in American football. But it's not, well, it's for the reasons you probably think it is. It's not actually football reasons. I am now in a split household because my wife is now saying that she's a Chiefs fan. And I'm like, thank you very much, Mrs. Swift. All I'm getting in house now is about how can you not have a guy like Travis Kelce in your team?
Because Travis Kelce is like one in a million.
I'm like, I can't really explain this to you, right? I can explain it so many levels, right? About like
we didn't draft him.
Yes, we didn't get picked him. We weren't that awful that year that we could draft him. you know, and we can't afford him now. So there's that. I don't know, but like, how could you know? Just could you know? Just get him. It's like, so I'm like, I've had to explain to her that my wife is very clued up on like normal football, right? So I've had to take American football like rules and how things works and soccerize them, as I'll say for any American listeners. I'll make it more than sound better than footballize them, because that really makes no sense. So try to explain that to you, because like when I told her the Packers score, she's like, why are you so bad this year? I mean, the Chiefs are doing not bad. And I'm like, what's the Chiefs coach name? And she told me Andy Reid. And I'm like, for fuck's sake, how did you know that? Because Travis mentioned Coach Reid. So I'm like,
God. Do you know what? I'm kind of glad that my family just have no interest at all. I'm happy to keep it that way.
So yeah, that's that. So I'm in a split house. She says I'm not in, because I said to her, all right, so because she sees clips in the New Heights podcast, which is the Kelce brothers, and she's talks about Jason as well. She says, oh, the two are really funny together. And she's like, oh, the Chiefs and Eagles are playing this weekend. And I'm like, aye, and I'm like, are you going to watch it? And she's like, no, why would I watch? And I'm like, you started talking about American football to me. Then you're telling me, oh, how come yous are so bad? Like, yous won it 3 years ago. How can yous go for like the best to one of the worst?
Because that's like, what the NFL is. Unless you're lucky and you're the Patriots, then
aye.
You know, the NFL team has a 5-6 year cycle traditionally, and then that's it. You have to, that's the whole point of the draft and the rebuild.
I explained that to her. I explained to her about basically us mortgaging off like future draft picks and like paying like people absolute ridiculous amounts of money. And she was just like, but why would you do that? Says, because we wanted to win. Says, yeah, but look at where it got us now. Says, I know, but we've got this big fancy ring, you know, in our fingers. Now we've got a trophy, you know, in a banner there, you know, that will always be there. You know, it was worth it. Says, and I said to her, but the thing is, says, yeah, we're bad now. And I said to her, like, imagine like a football team. We've got absolutely zero transfer kitty. If anything, we've had to lose players because we can't afford to keep them because we've had to cut back in the wage bill. Says, but next year, I just said like the best way to describe it is just imagine like the Saudis that came and bought the club. There you go. There's X amount of money. You can go buy whoever you want. That's what the Rams are going to be like next year. We can go out and buy not necessarily anyone we want, but we can go out and buy good players and bring in. Because I tried to explain it in football terms, like I'd soccerize it, so that she would understand how the cycle works. Because she didn't understand like why do the contracts like fluctuate and go up and down. I says, because that's what you do to kind of stay under the cap. And she was like, but why not just balance it, just pay them the same all the time? I said, but it's basically just wheeling and dealing to get the best players in on as little money as possible to make the club as competitive as you can to try and win it all. And she was just like, it just makes no sense why you would do that. Like, and I'm like, that's football, that's the NFL, that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I think this is why I prefer normal football. It's more simple structures. You pay a guy X, that's what he gets paid, that's it. So, yeah, but it's a bit, I mean, all American sports are the same. It's about trying to create level playing fields. You've not always got the same worst teams, but you know, it's like yourself and the NFL that. A lot of teams kind of stay the lower end of the bracket. Suppose it comes down to the back office, I guess. But yeah, so that's what I'm dealing with. I'm now dealing with a split household with a wife who talks about the NFL but doesn't actually want to watch it now.
Nah, right. Nah, that's so, mate. I'm glad that my family aren't interested and they can stay uninterested.
I'm just worried that like my sons are going to listen to her and want to become Chiefs fans, and I'm going to be sitting here, you know, as the only Rams fan.
Nah. She'll get bored once they break up, mate.
Oh, no. Don't say that to her. No, this is it. This is it. Because she was displaying Chiefs colours at our concert at the weekend. My wife's like, no, this is the one. This is it. They ain't breaking up. And I'm like, okay.
No, she'll break up with him shortly. She'll make a breakup song about how bad he is. Sell it. And then, you know, that the standard Taylor Swift thing, mate.
We'll see. But yeah, enough of that, right? Because we're going on a tangent there. So, folks, that was us. And we'll see you all next week for episode 104, where hopefully we will be returning to winning ways with a divisional win and a clean sweep this year against the Seahawks. But for now, I've been John and you've been Andy. Always a pleasure to talk to you, mate.
Yep, always a pleasure, mate. And let's look forward to a win at the weekend and positivity for next week.
And on that note, folks, good night. See you next week.